Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going on, y'all, and thank you again so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, sitting in studio with me today, complaining about the humidity, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios. I am very full. I'm stuffed. I just got back from Fort Worth, where me and my wife went to eat at one of our favorite Mexican restaurants, Papacito's. I get the same thing every time. It's delicious, and I overate. I do it every time I'm there. Yep.
Completely miserable. But you're here now.
It's a good kind of miserable. Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm glad to be here.
We're going
to
drop a little knowledge today, I hope. I hope you found it enjoyable.
You didn't tell me what you were talking about, but I know when your look on your face when I get to the studio and you're like, oh boy, he's got some crazy stories coming my way.
Dude, I got
and
all
your
kinds
way
of
too. So
oh yeah, I got I'm all excited. Kinds of good ones. So the main stuff, of course, I'm going to talk about today, we're going to be talking about some strange cattle mutilation stuff. I'm going to get into that and some strange stories with that. The main reason, because of the shows and because of this stupid thing. Look, it's all messed up again already. Sorry, folks. I've messed up my microphone.
Yeah, you know, the cattle mutes is a very interesting topic, and we haven't really talked about it in a while. It's you remember back in like 2013, we had Christopher O'Brien
on. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what was the name of his book?
Stalking the Herd.
Stalking the Herd. And the other one was like A Strange Harvest.
Yes. Took place a lot of it was in the San Luis Valley.
Well, it's actually all over.
Now,
that's how it started. Yeah. Linda Moulton Howe, we got to meet her at the Ozark Mountain UFO conference. And she's one of the first reporters that started reporting on it. But it's a weird thing. Heck, it happens in our county. My uncle grew up, he knew a rancher where it happened on his place several times. We recently had a person email the show that it happened in Peaster.
Oh, wow.
And they asked if we wanted to come out there and look at it, but I mean, imagine it's just going to look like a pasture. So.
Yeah.
But
it's day of.
I'm on the fence with this. I think it's intriguing, but I also wonder like what it is. Like sometimes I'm like, well, if it's aliens, why do they even bother bringing the cow back?
Exactly.
And if it's our government doing it. Like, can't our government own their own cattle to perform tests? Like, why would they steal somebody's cow, do their test, and then drop it back off? Like, it doesn't – you could just approach the rancher and be like, I'd like to buy three of your heifers.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's no blood. They usually take out the sex organs. They usually cut off a piece of the cheek or jaw.
And that's it, folks. We don't have to do the segment. Thanks for tuning in. We'll go ahead and wrap this up.
Yeah, it's just a strange phenomenon.
Just turned him loose on it.
It's because I'm fascinated by it. Me too. Always wondered, yeah, like, what is the reason? And it doesn't seem to happen with a lot of other livestock. It's mostly cattle.
Mostly cattle. There's horses. There's sheep involved. You get goats involved. My thing is, I wonder if anybody's ever found one, like, from, say, an elk. A bull, yeah, elk or a bull moose or just, you know, moose, elk, caribou, large wild game. I just wonder.
And you know what another disturbing thing with the cattle mutes is? That no predators seem to touch the carcass. Where normally, no, if you were to kill a cow, leave it, the coyotes, the buzzards, everything, it would be gone in 2 days.
Yep.
They find them days later and nothing's touched them.
But yet they say it's predators.
Yeah, I don't believe it is. It doesn't look like predators. First of all,
see, look, precise, I've turned him loose, folks.
I'm sorry.
See,
precise, look, cuts, turned him loose, no blood. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's intriguing, though, because it's definitely happening and been happening for a long time.
Oh, yeah. As early as we know as the 70s. But I've got something for you, homie.
Okay.
That I think you're going to truly enjoy.
Oh, boy.
This.
Here we go. He's hitting me with the headline,
folks. Let me get my pawpaws on. Giant white lizard and Sasquatch fiercely battle in a Washington forest.
Come on, man.
Dude, I'm straight up.
Giant white lizard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I want you to listen to
and
this.
And Sasquatch fight with one another.
Oh, yeah, they're getting
okay,
after it.
Yeah, let me hear it.
The witness was out hiking in the woods around Kirkland, Washington. He soon came upon a creature climbing a tree, and initially he thought it was a giant white lizard. Now, as he examined it, he made out that it was a translucent creature with a tail. Its body almost looked like an exoskeleton with stubby legs or appendages. Sounds like you. And it turned its head around backwards and was looking directly at him, making a snapping noise with its mouth.
How big is this lizard?
Dude, we're getting
are we
to
talking
this.
Like 2 foot? Are we talking 10?
I'm like, thinking like a 6-8 footer,
like
maybe?
A large, white, translucent Komodo dragon climbing. Listen, if I'm walking down a trail.
Here we go.
And I'm in the Pacific Northwest. It doesn't matter where I'm at. And I see that. I'm going to about face. Turn around, get out.
You're not going to pull your phone up and try to get a little...
No, man, I'm out of there. I don't care if anybody believes me or not.
Right.
Nobody believes my stories now. Yeah. It doesn't matter if I have photographic evidence.
That's right.
Yeah, I'd be like, nope, I'm good.
This thing says, as it starts making a snapping noise with its mouth, its face had jagged bumps on the top and bottom, and the witness could not tell where the teeth were or if the bumps were its teeth. Suddenly, he began to hear a whooping noise. A whooping noise, y'all. Just then, a creature came crashing through the brush. The white creature turned its head to listen and then began to scale further up the tree. A large, blackish-brown, bipedal creature. He recognized that it was a Sasquatch, though it was not similar to the one he had observed in 2003. Suddenly came around the tree and grabbed it. The white creature whipped its tail, hitting its arm. Seemingly surprised, the white creature shrieked out, turned, leapt onto the Sasquatch, despite it being four times its size. So, I guess the white creature's not as big as we think.
Maybe it's Bigfoot's pet. It's his pet lizard, and he keeps getting out.
Or maybe this lizard ate its pet, because he goes on to say, "It's despite it being four times its size, the white creature fought wildly, crawling all over it and burning it with some type of substance that the witness assumed was a type of venom. Something was coming off of it, which caused the Sasquatch to shriek in pain. Smoke was visible anytime the white creature would lean in to bite, though no
smoke.
Spit, yes, though no spit was ever seen coming out of its mouth. After some time, the Sasquatch grabbed the white creature by its head and pulled it off. The white creature flipped forward, and then its head spun 360 around. It bit the Sasquatch's arm. The Sasquatch threw it against the tree and punched it, causing it to elongate itself around the
tree. No, wait.
Listen. I'm sorry. Punched it, causing it to splat similar to a fried egg. Then the white creature seemed to do this on purpose, elongating itself around the tree to absorb the blow. The white creature then hopped to another tree, and the Sasquatch followed, attempting to hit it with a stick. Eventually, the white thing fell out of the tree, ran into the woods, and the Sasquatch followed it. The witness had no idea why, but the Sasquatch apparently wanted to kill this white creature.
This is the greatest story ever told.
First of all,
okay,
look, I'm going to go off and say, I don't know if it's true or not, okay? I don't know if it's true or not, but what I do know is, can you imagine
All I can think of is
witness to that.
Eternal Enemies. Remember that show?
The Lions and the High Entwined Tumela.
Yeah, so in maybe Sasquatch.
He who greets with fire.
White lizards are eternal enemies. They came through a portal and they had a battle right here.
I've never heard other stories about white lizards, like translucent lizards.
You used to like White Snake.
And of course, who didn't? You've never really heard a bunch of these, and you never see, like, we don't get stories about them, and here's why. Sasquatch kills them.
Maybe you're right.
Dude, he takes them out.
That's an insane story.
It's a crazy story, but I've got one even better for you. I'll hit with you later.
Okay, check this out. It says, hey, you two, I'm such a huge fan of your show and have been for a while. I have some odd stories to share with you, but today I want to share one that's kind of similar to the one you shared in the past and recently did on the DU podcast.
All right.
Now, back in the 90s when I was a teen, I was staying with my brother and his family near Lake Tahoe. His property was situated deep in the woods and very private. We were making tacos this one evening, and since the stove was inside, was electric, I made my way outside to the travel trailer to heat up the tortillas over the gas range. It was at this time that I started hearing a man's voice calling for help coming from the nearby woods.
Help!
That was surprising since no one should be out there, and none of our neighbors would be on our property without us knowing. I went into the house and told my brother what I heard, and I told him that he better call 911. I went back out and started calling towards the voice and running towards it. By this time, the individual sounded deeply distressed and in pain. I could even hear them moaning. Help! Help me! It just kept saying it over and over. The deeper I got into the woods, the further the voice got away from me. Within a minute or two, a female voice started calling for help as well. Her voice was coming from a completely different direction. There was no sound of crunching leaves or twigs snapping except what was coming from me. The voices started swirling around me, and I had no flashlight or way to see anything in these woods. During the day, I knew the trails like the back of my hand, but not now since my adrenaline had me running towards these individuals. After what seemed like forever to trying to find these injured individuals, I eventually stopped. Out of breath and absolutely frustrated, and I called out, "Where are you?" And at that time, a male voice whispered in my left ear, "I'm right here."
Oh, no.
I've never been so scared in my life.
That's the kind of third man infect and encounter you do not want to have.
Right. It says, I don't even know how I ran through the woods back to my brother's house without hitting a tree or getting injured myself. When I popped out of the woods, my brother and his family were outside with flashlights and the paramedics. No one heard anything, and I got a lecture from the paramedics about being that it probably was a mountain lion. He said sometimes they sound like women. I was without words and too terrified to respond. It wasn't until the last year or so that I've started hearing other people's and hunters' experiences that have been similar to mine. I've heard them described as pale crawlers. Love your show. Have a great week, Deborah.
Oh, straight up a pale crawler.
Well, I don't know if it was a pale crawler, but there are legends of these trickster species like puckwudgies and stuff.
Mustache that, too big.
That lurk and try to get you to go into the woods and make you fall off a cliff. Or there's even cases in Japan where they see these women like spirits that cry. It sounds like a baby crying. And, they trick you to go into the water. Well, they'll drown you.
It's like the kappa. That big turtle thing.
You'd have to ask Luke. He would know exactly which one it is.
Right.
But then, you know, this is a thing. It's a trickster spirit. And they're, you know, obviously if you hear someone calling from the woods and they need help, obviously investigate. But if it seems like the voices are moving farther and farther away, you might just call search and rescue.
Unless you have a thermal. And then if you have a thermal, investigate from there.
Yeah, you can do that if you want to.
Because you don't want to see the thing that Kyle was describing.
No.
I've got something you do want to see, though.
Okay.
I'm going to top off the Sasquatch and the big yellow or the big white lizard.
You got something that tops that.
Dude, of course I do. I've got to one up it one more time. Here we go, folks. Alligator Man versus Werewolf.
Okay. Upright, this is a movie, right?
No. Upright cryptids fight to the death in southern Georgia.
I think these stories are a little bit too wild.
Nope. Here we go. This is it. Two men, Art and Charlie, out hunting on private property in southern Georgia, observed something come out of the tall grass. It was across a small pond, but they could see it clearly. It brought its head up out of the grass and looked around. At that point, it stood up on its hind legs. When anybody says this thing stood up on its hind legs, That's never a good explanation.
It's time to get out of there.
You don't want anything to stand up on its hind legs out there all by itself. It was around 6.5 feet tall with a blocky or alligator-like head. It had large claws, a big tail, and a rounded snout, though it was not as long as a typical alligator's. It walked up to the pond and jumped in. It began to swim in their direction, but stopped in the middle and stared at them. The two experienced hunters thought about shooting, but then decided against it. At that point, off to the right, about 50 yards away, they saw, coming out of the tree line, a 7-foot-tall, dog-like creature walking on its hind legs.
Why do they always got to be so tall?
You're going to have to ask them. One of the men looked at it through his scope and noted that it looked like a dang werewolf. It appeared to be watching the reptile creature intently, taking no notice of the hunters. It walked up to the water, crouched down, and then began drinking as a human would, but using its paws. It then peered over at the hunters.
Well, why wouldn't a werewolf just drink like a dog with its tongue?
Because it's not a dog, it's a werewolf, bro. You're not listening to the story?
Yeah, I'm like, this.
Pay attention, man. Come on. As this happened, the reptile creature vanished under the water. It suddenly popped up about 12 foot away from the bank, almost in front of the wolf-like creature. At that point, the wolf creature backed away. Eventually, the reptile drifted back out into the water, and the dog-like creature returned to drinking. A few moments later, as the dog creature walked along the shore, the reptile-like creature, which had been moving around the pond, launched an all-out attack on the dog creature, springing out of the water. The two fought. The reptilian managed to drag the dog thing under the water. The two creatures, both bloodied, suddenly appeared on their side of the pond as the hunters moved off. The dog-like creature climbed on top of the alligator and pulled its top and bottom jaw in opposite directions. There was a pop, and the alligator creature suddenly stopped struggling. Afterward, the dog-like creature lay on the ground, chest breathing heavily. That's when you attack. That's when you open fire at this moment. One of the hunters decided that he was going to shoot it, but the other talked him out of it. They promptly left the area.
Why would you talk him out of it?
Apparently, the property owner was aware of this alligator creature. He claims that they had started to see it around their property 3 years earlier.
And he never thought of calling like a game warden?
He wasn't doing anything. He's just out taking a stroll, man.
Yeah, but you'd be like, hey, dude, there's an alligator that walks around my property on its back legs.
Man, who's going to believe that?
Nobody.
Exactly. That's why he didn't call. He was just like, well, let him
imagine
go.
Imagine the odds of ever seeing a dog man. Like, what is it? 1 in 8 billion? And then the fact of seeing an alligator man also at the same time.
And then they fight.
And then they fight.
Again, what's the odds of watching, even seeing Sasquatch?
Oh, it's like.
And then you see this giant, unkillable, translucent lizard, and then they fight. So I'm thinking whoever won that. So the dog man has to fight whoever won between Sasquatch and the lizard. That's how this works.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's good as theory.
That's Cryptid Fight Club math.
That's crazy.
Part of the Cryptid Fight Club. So, folks, there we have it. Some wild stories to whet your palate. Let's take a quick break. We're going to jump into what Kyle hopefully left me enough meat on the bone to talk about after he went on his crazy rant.
Hey, listen, you asked me about the subject matter. I
should have never told him. Should have never told him. We'll take a quick break. When we get back, we'll be discussing some cattle mutilation stories. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Let's get after it. I want to pose a question and tell a few stories that'll probably make you think. At least that's what I'm hoping to pull off today. Please excuse my squeaky chair. I'm Captain Squeaky Chair. This chair lasted no time. I'm about had it with this thing. So what we're going to be discussing today is, as I alluded to, cattle mutilations. The strange world, if you will, or the strange cases of cattle mutilations. It's odd, right? I mean, there's no other way to put it. You could say all you want, but it is the most odd thing by how not only they're found, but the fact of the lack of any other type of evidence. And so I'm going to toss a few things out there, give y'all, like I said, something to think about with this whole deal. I'm going to start off by reading you an article from the Epoch Times, and this came several years back. So I want to say this is probably back in 2013, I believe, was when this was written, maybe even earlier than that. Says a disturbing chain of livestock mutilations has plagued farmers and ranchers throughout all 50 states for decades, but law enforcement has failed to name a perpetrator. Cows, horses, goats, and other livestock have been randomly found dead, the corpses mutilated, and organs removed with surgical precision. With each of these attacks, no tracks of any kind surround the site, perplexing ranchers and law enforcement. Now, many theories surround this mysterious and persistent wave of attacks. Suspects include predatory animals, satanic cultists, extraterrestrials, and even the U.S. government. And to this day, no arrests have been made, even though more than 10,000 attacks have been recorded throughout the country, according to KLAS-TV out of Las Vegas. Now, these cases stand out from regular predatory attacks on livestock. Their surgical nature is eerie and unexplainable. Colorado rancher Tom Miller recalled his first encounter with the mysterious mutilations. The eyes, ears, tongue, and reproductive organs had been removed from one of his cows with surgical precision. No blood was found on site, which is typical among the mutilation attacks. Miller said that his cattle have been periodically attacked in this way since 1999. Now, adding to the bewilderment are the fractured bones, including ribs, inside the carcass of the mutilated animal, suggesting that the animals were taken, operated on, and then dropped from an elevated height. Now, supporters of the extraterrestrial theory suggest the aliens take the animals aboard their craft and then discard the remains according to the unexplained files. Now, ufologists, those who study UFOs, believe that the mutilation of these animals represent a need for bodily tissue in order to create alien-human hybrids. This claim is perhaps lacking in evidence, but in many cases of cattle mutilation, the reproductive organs were removed, embryos included. In the scientific community, cow embryos were used in human cloning attempts by the company Advanced Cell Technology in 1999, reported the BBC and New Scientist News. So, we got a little creepiness going on there, right? Are they swiping these things? This is, like I said, back in the day, they're talking about these people were reporting, hey, look, we've had problems with these things. This stuff happening since 99. Now, it goes back into the early 70s. If you go to the FBI's vault and dig around in there for cattle and animal mutilations in their FOIA stuff, you're going to find there are letters written back all the way into the early 70s, 74, I believe, 72, 74, right around in there. Here's another interesting fact that they start bringing up. Our buddy Chris says one more terrestrial explanation comes from alien theory skeptic Chris O'Brien, who suggests that the mutilations are conducted by our own government in an effort to avoid disease outbreak, such as mad cow disease, also known as bovine spongiform encephalopathy. Yeah, encephalopathy. That's a heck of a mouthful right there, right? BSE, which is believed to cause the human disease called variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Now, according to O'Brien and the Unexplained Files, many of the tainted animals from the 1996 BSE outbreak in England were destroyed, turned into fertilizer, and then transported around the world, including to American farmland. Despite the persistent anomalies of the livestock attacks, skeptics hold that they are nothing more than predatory animal attacks. That's it. That's what they think they are. So that got me thinking about the UK, right? I'm like, all right, well, if we've got it, they've got it. Look, there's cattle in the UK. There's cattle in Scotland. There's cattle in Ireland. There's cattle everywhere. You start going to Australia. We already talked about these big ranches. Giant cattle stations. Would you even know, right? Would you even know if you lost a cow out in the middle of all that? You may not. You may not. So why is it happening here and it's not just rampant in Australia? So I looked over there also into the UK. This was posted by the BBC all the way back in 2010, on June 2nd of 2010. They interviewed a man named Mike Freeberry. He's a member of the Animal Pathology Field Unit, and they investigated the mystery of cattle mutilations for a number of years. And he tells that he believes that aliens and UFOs are responsible for a string of attacks in the UK. Now, he goes on to start talking about, like he says, it was in the early 70s, as he reports on this, that it was when it was first reported. Basically, he covers everything that I just told you, except he goes into this. He says, in my opinion, the UFOs are something that relates directly to the animal mutilations. They are often seen around the areas where mutilations take place. I think that the animal mutilations are possibly some sort of sampling program being carried out by the entities that are propelling these crafts. He goes on to say that we have carried out a number of surveillances on Dartmoor. Now, we were never able to catch the perpetrators in the act, but we have seen some very strange craft of unknown origin, UFOs, and we have them on file, and we've managed to get frame-by-frame analysis of them done, and it appears that these things were appearing literally within a second and then gone, which I find very unique, because this is back in 2010. If we know what we know now and what is being talked about in the UFO world this past couple of years, they operate this way. They boom, they're there, boom, they're gone. Right now, back then it may have been hard, but now we've almost got confirmation of it. He's also talking about this, that says that in rural Britain, dead sheep are being found by farmers with mysterious and gruesome injuries. Now, Mike says a highly active area in the UK includes Shrewsbury, Dartmouth, and parts of Wales. Now, we're talking about some fairly remote areas, he says. And this is his quote, these injuries to these animals. The animals are invariably killed, but they're very specific. If you've seen some of the bodies that I've seen, it's just absolutely incredible. It's plainly evident that these attacks are not carried out by natural predators. He goes on to say, the flesh appears to have been cauterized, indicating some sort of thermic lance or microsonic wand has been used. We're talking incredible technology. There's never any blood. He goes on to say that he says that he believes that there has been an estimated 40,000 cases in America since the 70s, and that the number in the UK are unknown. It says, yeah, you do have to question, how is it that somebody has not been identified? And he says, how have they not been arrested? Nobody's been caught. There's never been a single prosecution to any of this because there's no evidence, right? And he goes on, I quote, it's plainly evident that these attacks are not carried out by natural predators. So then I'm like, okay. You don't think it is, like, what's going on with this? So I start looking around over there in our brothers and sisters' worlds of Australia. Right? Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. So I start looking around over in that, and this is what I found just from last year. From April of 2023, I found this. This took place in central Queensland. It says a mutilation mystery is playing out on a remote central Queensland property after a number of cows were found dead in an inexplicable circumstances. Now that sounds terrible, right? So this is a news site from over there in the UK, and it talks to ranchers Judy and Mike Cook. And over the 18 years, they say 20 cows have been killed in the same strange manner on this property. Now, I'm going to try to pronounce this property, right? This is going to be interesting. Yungella, I guess it is. Yungella property. They go on to say that organs were removed with surgical precision and no trace of blood left at the scene. The most recent death was earlier in 23 when the couple found the carcass of a cow with its udder, cheek, and tongue cleanly removed. And once again, no blood, no marks of any kind. There's no movement, like drag marks, scuff of anything walking around the scene. None. Says the only explanation they can come up with for the mutilations is as strange as the crimes themselves. Aliens. Yeah. Miss Cook says, how's it happening? It says it must have something that lifts it up and puts it down and doesn't leave any marks. And aliens are the only explanation that I have. Mr. Cook goes on to say that one night there was a light in the distance, very bright. Now, we couldn't tell how close it was, and it looked like it was just on the boundary of the property. says, where I found a mob of cattle out that way the next day who looked terrorized and that they started running as soon as he got close to them, which is very strange. Now, they have 1,100 head of cattle on 14,600 hectare property of West Yungella. So it's west of McKay. Says, and there also they go into, they're not an isolated case. There's been other cases that took place. One here is talking about similar incidents have been reported for more than 50 years across the world. We have UFO Research Queensland President Cheryl Gotchel said that there had not been an incident in Queensland for quite some time. This is what she told the Courier Mail. A man had traveled to the Cape York Peninsula looking for aircraft parts from World War II and came across a mutilated bull and two calves, which had its eyes, stomach bag, testicles, as well as its backside completely removed, and that cattle mutilations have been linked with extraterrestrial activity since the 1970s. Yeah, like we know. Now, here's one thing I will say. There's some of these mutilations, by the time they get to them, there's the decomp, right? The decomp kind of tosses it to where it's going to be really, really hard to tell what it might have been. But I want to read you this here. This is something, and I think I've covered this story. I'm pretty sure I've covered this UFO story, but there's a little part in here that says, and I'm just going to kick it off. In May of 1973, four women, Judy Daugherty, her daughter Cindy, Judy's mother, and sister-in-law, had the most horrifying experience of their lives. After a long session of bingo in Houston, the four women were returning to Judy's home in Texas City, but at first going by Alta Loma to drop off Judy's sister and brother-in-law. After dropping off the two in Alta Loma, the remaining four saw a strange light which hovered above. The sight was intriguing enough that the four women stopped and got out of the car for a clearer look at the source of the light. They watched in awe until it disappeared, and then resumed their trip to Texas City. Over time, Judy began to suffer from intense headaches and anxiety, and after being seen and dismissed by several doctors, she was referred to well-known ufologist and hypnologist Dr. Leo Sprinkle. Sprinkle's previous experience with the UFO enigma led him to recommend hypnosis as a way to relieve Judy of her emotional trauma. Sprinkle most likely suspected an abduction from the beginning. Now, under hypnosis, Judy described an abduction scenario and was taken aboard a supposed spacecraft. There, she describes how a cow was taken up into the craft and methodically mutilated by two small entities. During the hypnotic regression, Judy described the unusual sensation of being in two places at once. She said that she was still standing beside her car after they stopped to watch the strange light in the sky. However, she also said at the same time she was in a strange chamber watching the gruesome experiment unfolding before her eyes. So I'm wondering, is there a way, are they projecting the false memory into your brain where she thinks she's still looking at that? But in regression, she's seeing this mutilation. I bring this case up for one point. Remember the date? 1973. Nobody had even heard about cattle mutilation, more than likely, in 1973. Yet here is this woman, Judy Daugherty, and she just described a scene from what would typically be a cattle mutilation. Now, here's another one that I'm going to touch on as kind of the opposite side of the coin, okay? I lived in a small neighborhood in upstate New York while growing up, and one weekend, my parents were out of town, so I was home alone. My backyard was half cleared land and half dense woods. There was a small creek that ran behind my house, too, so there was a lot of wildlife. On the first night, around 1 in the morning, I was on the couch in the extended living room part of my home, where three of the walls had windows, and we had a skylight. This is important because I had a complete view of almost all of my backyard up to the tree edge, now including the moon overhead, which was a waning crescent. I heard the sound of a very angry squirrel for about 5 minutes and kind of brushed it off because I've heard angry squirrels before. Which, that right there always keys me off. Okay, angry squirrel at 1 a.m.? The squirrels sleep at night. Look, they're not huge fans of running around at night because they get eaten by things that move in the night, right? Owls. There's, you know, you're talking about something that can move in silence. Squirrels aren't the best moving around in the dark. Like, yeah, it can be done. We can all do it, right? But they're not good at it either. So you got to think about what's aggravated the squirrel. Then I heard the most terrifying screech. It sounded like a goose had just been murdered and screaming. It scared the crap out of me, and I immediately rushed over to the windows to see if I could see anything. I was worried it might have been a wolf, since my neighbor's cat likes to go wandering outside and usually kills a rabbit or two and then leaves them in our front yard. It was pitch black, and my porch light barely illuminated anything but our back porch. So I brushed off the noise and went to bed shortly after. The next morning, I headed over to my neighbor's house, who had hunted before and occasionally would bow hunt too. I asked if they heard that noise last night, and they said yes, and then they thought it was a deer crying for help. They told me they were going to investigate the woods in a few hours to see what had happened. I was reluctant to ask to go with, but I was determined to know what that noise had been. So a few hours later, my neighbors and I went into the woods. We didn't have to go far when we saw a dead squirrel, pretty much ripped to pieces. We continued on figuring the squirrels don't have much meat on them, so the animal probably tried to get as much as he could out of it. We wandered for about 5 more minutes when we came across 5 dead rabbits, a deer corpse and her fawn, and a dead goose. Now this frightened me the most. 3 of the dead rabbits had their heads missing and the body was intact. The other 2 were just ripped to pieces, similar to that of a dead squirrel. The smell of it all made me gag. I didn't dare walk towards the goose or the deer. My neighbor, who had a bow on him, walked towards the doe to see that she had these long claw marks on her torso and her head had been mangled. The fawn, however, had its head missing as well. Now, the weirdest part of all the dead animals was the goose. The goose was fully intact, except that its lungs had been ripped open and all the inner organs were gone. My neighbor's wife immediately called the police and said that there was a bear roaming the property and was attacking innocent animals. I had my suspicions, but I do not believe this was a bear. My neighbor, who had the bow, was keeping a clear eye on the surrounding woods like he was watching for something. His wife paid no attention to this and continued to talk to the police. Then it hit me with a feeling of dread and chills. New York gets cold in the morning, but this was summer and the humidity was usually around 90%. The entire woods seemed to be silent as well. We were near the creek and couldn't hear the water flowing either. I could see my neighbor had the same feeling wash over him as he raised his bow and knocked an arrow onto it. He told his wife to be quiet and me to stand back. I could not see anything, but the feeling was still with me. My neighbor, I know, saw something but refused to tell me what it was since I was 15 and he probably didn't want to scare me. After a few minutes, the feeling of dread was gone and the sound of something moving through the forest could be heard in the distance. My neighbor lowered his bow and told us that we had to leave. We immediately listened, and by the time we got back to the small neighborhood, the town police had arrived. My neighbor explained the story and the police advised us to stay inside. They later sent a few animal control people to survey the area to try to get the bear away from the neighborhood, but they came back empty-handed. I never knew what that was that was out there, but I had done some research and I believe it might have been a wendigo by the dead animal killings. My neighbors refused to talk to me about it ever again, and my neighbor who had the bow seemed very cautious after that. Now, this happened a few years ago, and I now live in a different state. Jason. So, I wanted to tell you all that because of the explanation. The description of what happened to those animals, right? They're torn to pieces. They're missing a head. It is very rudimentary, not in the description, but in how the animals were attacked. They are attacked viciously, and like a predator might, well, this is odd, just taking the heads, but they're just attacked by something, whether it's vicious, whether it's mad, aggressive, whatever's going on. There's no precision to it. Look, I hope there's biologists listening to this, like real biologists that know what's going on. But it's under my assumptions and the things that I've read that a predator, you know, there's overlap between predator and like a scavenger. You know, you've got scavengers on the far, far end, like a buzzard, let's say, right? And then you have predators on the far, far end, like, let's say, a mountain lion. Those two don't overlap, but somewhere in the middle, you can have some overlap of things that will scavenge and predate on animals. But as a predator, you're wanting to get the biggest bang for the least amount of work. So when you take an animal down, let's just say a mountain lion took one down, or it's even easier, let's just say a bear, right? A bear takes down an elk. Well, he's not going to eat the tongue. There's not a lot to it. Same as a coyote, a wolf. There's not a lot of nutrients in the tongue. Whenever you've got all the organs, all the organ meat, that's why they start in the soft spots. Down there by the anus, right? And they start digging in and chewing and get in there and they get all the goods first before they ever go to picking the meat clean. That's why there's a fight for the organ meat. So that's normally what you would see is blood, right? There's chaos. We're not seeing that with these cows. That's not there. They say it's done by a predator. Was it? Or did the predator just nibble on it after it was dropped back off and it not be a predator? It was a scavenger, right? Maybe it's a coyote that came by, cleaned up a little bit of that stuff. Here's an interesting one that comes from Texas, reported on by MUFON. This comes from Port Lavaca. Says the investigation into how and why 21 sheep were either stolen or mutilated in Calhoun County is taking an interesting turn. The culprits might be from another planet, y'all. Wayne and Karen Daggs of Port Lavaca lost their last two Barbados sheep. They discovered one missing and the other dead Tuesday. This is a while back, not recent Tuesdays. So a member of the MUFON had read about this, come out, because it was actually published in the Houston Chronicle, this whole little thing. So then Charles Stansberg, the organization's section director, goes to the Daggs property and starts investigating. And this is what they found. Said the latest casualty did not have a wound behind its ear, which was found on most of the previously killed sheep. So there was something behind the ear of all these sheep. And this is what Bobby Vickery, the Calhoun County investigator, says. I can't think of a reason aside from rituals or malicious mischievousness for the mutilations. That's a mouthful. That's a lot of M's, boy. Woo! Malicious mischievousness for the mutilations. Coyotes and vultures devoured the animal below her neck, so it was impossible to know whether her reproductive organs were removed, a trend discovered in other dead sheep. Well, look, they were removed by something, whether it was coyotes or the buzzards or the vultures, whatever it was. That's what I'm talking about with the scavengers as compared to the predator. Now, Vickery goes on to say the coyote might have happened upon the sheep after it was killed. However, he cannot explain how the coyote entered the fenced property and where the other missing sheep have gone. It is not clear how the sheep were removed, either dead or alive, from the property. Investigators lack evidence, such as tracks, that anyone has been inside the Daggs fence. Vickery says both surrounding brush and fence lines are free from disruption. Stansberg goes on to say that no one knows the purpose of these mutilations. The crime is not solvable. Stansberg was involved in similar organizations in Colorado and has investigated abductions, UFO sightings, and more, and animal mutilations. Smooth, laser-like incisions, a lack of blood, and absence of predator and human tracks are common characteristics of the mutilations that Stansberg has investigated. Cattle and horse account for the majority of the animals he has seen mutilated. Says in early 1990s, a horse was found with nothing but bone above the neck without a trace of blood. An examination determined that the horse's entire nervous system had been removed, and the incision around the neck was precise, as if it was made with a laser. A small bag was found 50 feet from the horse, and investigators could not open it, but its contents clanged like metal when shaken. The container opened when an investigator tossed it across a desk at police headquarters. It revealed tools that included a contraption that might have been a laser gun, Stansberg says. The local newspaper covered the strange occurrence, which prompted, now get a load of this, this is what it says, excuse me, it says it prompted Men in Black to arrive later the same day. They asked for the bag before anyone told him it existed. He goes on to say that the Men in Black told police and the newspaper that they had not seen or investigated anything. And he said that they told the paper to recant the story. And he goes on to say that alien races have inhabited or visited the Earth
for hundreds of thousands of years, and that no one knows the purpose of the mutilations, the crime is not solvable. And he might be right. He might really be right. Now, George Altman, the sheriff of Calhoun County, says we're looking at mutilation in general. The last incident I remember was in the 70s, and it seemed like satanic worship stuff. That's where they've gotten on this whole thing. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. I have one for y'all to talk. Now, there's one in Russia. Get a load of this from 1994. This is a very disturbing story. Several deer herders watched a large metallic disc-shaped object descend and land among a herd of deer. Immediately from the craft emerged several short humanoid figures. While ignoring the stunned herders, began to conduct on the seemingly paralyzed animals what appeared to be surgical operations. One of the shepherds approached the group of aliens, intending to drive them away. However, the other men watched as the herder apparently came under the same hypnotic control that had affected the herd, and without trying to escape, he approached the aliens and voluntarily gave himself to them. His body was found the next day, completely drained of blood, his genitalia removed along with the prostate and the pancreas. Also, several pieces of skin were removed in other parts of the body. That's what was reported from 94, some sheep herders in Russia. Doesn't stop there. There's also some strange stuff going on down in Coahuila, Mexico. According to the Diario Vanguardia newspaper, a mysterious animal slaughter took place at Rancho Buena Fe, just east of Parras in Coahuila. Says the property's owner said that her animals turned up either dead or dying, all of them displaying puncture marks on their neck. A total of 8 sheep, 7 mature goats, and a young goat were found dead. Now, according to her statement, she heard no sounds whatsoever. Her guard dogs never barked, and the intruders' prints were never found. She added that the same thing happened the previous month and that motivated a change of pens. She placed the animals closer to her home, but even that did not prevent the loss of her animals. It should be noted that in the Sabinas, another locale in the state of Coahuila, the presence of wildlife has been reported in collective farming properties and in the outskirts of the city. Black bears and pumas have been mentioned. However, bear and puma do not kill their prey by puncturing their necks. Therefore, in my opinion, what happened in Rancho Buena Fe has still not been satisfactorily explained. There it is, y'all. Both sides of the coin. What do you think? Is it aliens? Is it people? That's the story we always get. I will tell you what I saw. The one time that we were involved in that missing pig, where we had met Gary Christensen years ago when we first started the show, and we actually went and saw where this pig had been drugged and left and then vanished from. There was no blood. There was no sign of anything. There was no scratching on the ground. There was no, it was like the drag marks. It had been simply picked up. No tracks, no footprints, no anything. And it was very strange. Now, lots of times I will say this. If you shoot a pig especially, any animal truly, but a pig especially, if you don't use, well, let's say you just, you know, you used a regular core lock or you're just using any sort of good hunting round, more than likely you're not going to penetrate the backside of the hog. And that's the idea. The idea is to give all the energy. The bullet goes in, it mushrooms or pedals out, does its damage and stays inside the animal. If you shoot them, of course, with, you know, FMJs or something along those lines, you may knock a hole in both. With a pig, even with a hole on the other side, if you've gone all the way through it, if it's laying on its side, as thick as their hide is, lots of times it can seal off. It is very tough to make them bleed, but there's always going to be a little blood. And then especially if you leave them laying on their side, eventually there's going to be blood slowly come out of the hole as it settles, any of these things, right? But not all the time. So I could see maybe there wasn't a lot of blood. But if there are predators tearing into this thing, well, then there's going to be blood. But what we're getting with these cows is the exact same thing I've described. Something where there's no tracks. There's no anything, because where it was taken and where it was laid down may not be the same place. More than likely, it's not even remotely the same place. Same property, but not where it was originally picked up from. But there's nothing there. The no blood, the taking of the tongue, the lips, the eyes, the reproductive organs. things that normal predators would not eat and then leave the rest untouched. So to me, I don't know. I still don't know. It has to be otherworldly, right? It has to be something that's conducting this. I don't know that if it's our government, but I don't know that it's not. But either way, that is damn creepy, and I wish it would stop. I hope y'all enjoyed the stories. Let's take a quick one. When we get back, we'll see what the Big Fizzy thinks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. There you go. Some crazy cattle mutilations, some stuff from around the world, some things to make you think. Predator or alien?
Yeah, I don't know.
I still think alien. I don't care.
I would lean towards that. Sense. But I don't have any idea why they're doing it the way that. Like I said, if they're going to abduct the cow, why do they bring it back?
My question, is this. That's true. My feeling is, if this was our government,
yeah, right,
they don't bat 1,000.
Right.
Somebody would have seen something they had done. One of them would have screwed up and dropped something. It's just the way it is, right? It's because we're mistake-ridden species. We just make mistakes. Something would have been found. But with the alien, it's one of those where they grab it. I don't even necessarily think they ever get near the ground. There are some reports, and I even left some of it out, where they have found indentions in the ground.
Yeah,
where they have, where they have found these things or whatnot. I don't even know if that's where they pick the cow up from on that part of the ranch or whatever, but it does seem when they start talking about finding broken bones in them after they've discovered it, where you're like, yeah, it looks like it was dropped.
Yeah. I try to think about, like, how do they do it? Like, so they, whatever's, like, it was a black helicopter. It was our government.
Black helicopter.
Well, a black Sikorsky helicopter coming down, like a Black Hawk or something. It's going to scare the cattle off,
oh, yeah.
So that's not going to happen. So is there a guy on the ground that's tranquilizing the thing? Then it passes out, then they bring the helicopter in?
I will say this. At least in the one where they talk with the Russians that I talk about, when that craft lands, it does something to put the entire reindeer herd in some sort of hypnagogic state. And they even talk about the fact that Russian sheep herder or whatever, or the sheep, I'm sorry, not reindeer, the sheep, as that man walks into that ring, it affected him.
He
willingly gave himself to the aliens, only to be found dead the next day, missing some genitals and things like that.
You know what I'm saying? Because I always try to think about, like, well, how are they pulling it off? And then they never find any blood.
Nope.
So they have to tranquilize the thing first, or I don't guess they're not tranquilizing it. They're euthanizing it somehow. Then they're draining all of its blood. Then they're doing their incisions and whatever. They're cutting stuff off. It seems like a lot of trouble when you could just raise the military or whatever could just buy their own herd.
Yeah, that's why I think it's alien. And I think whatever it does when it does its thing may almost like the Pied Piper. Like maybe they drop the door and they just willingly walk right up into it
maybe
because
of
what they're done. Because if you hear, like I said, the story about that dude that just was going down there to run him off and then wham, it hits him and he just gives himself over to him and kind of joins him. It just affects them somewhere crazy.
Did you watch the new series on Netflix? What's it called? Investigation Alien, I think?
A little of it. I haven't gotten deep into it.
With George Knapp.
Knapp. Yeah.
There was an episode on there specifically about cattle mutilations.
Oh, got to get on there.
So it was pretty cool. I like George. And, well, listen, him and Jeremy Corbell, I just saw them this last week when they were doing all the UAP stuff with Congress.
Oh, yeah.
I could see them sitting in the audience,
It's good stuff.
Seems like there's more and more stuff coming out. I mean, everybody's talking they want the stuff on JFK released. I want all this stuff about UAPs released.
Yeah, I got to know.
I already know what happened back then.
Yeah, right.
I already know.
I got a pretty good idea what went down. Hey, I got an idea of something here that you probably don't know what would go down.
Okay.
We've hunted javelina. We've had a good time chasing javelina. That stuff's been fun.
Not as much as your buddies from other states. Boy, they
loved
giddy about javelinas.
They loved hunting it. Dude, it's fun. And if you've never seen one,
collared
the first
peccary.
Time, that's right. The first time you see them. It's very interesting. This is an odd, glowing, red-eyed javelina stares down campers who thought skinwalker.
I've never seen
that.
I'm
going to tell you right now, if I see a red-eyed javelina again, I'm getting in the truck and leaving.
Yeah, I'm done.
They're mean-looking anyway, and the way they pop their teeth together.
Yeah.
Dude,
their teeth, do you see how they go together?
They go perfectly to pull out your Achilles when they bite you in the back of the leg while you're sprinting to get away. Or you should see my sprint anyway. It's more like a quick shuffle. This is what went down.
says, I used to live in Arizona near a mountain sacred to the Native American tribes in the area. There were a lot of skinwalker rumors in the region. My friends and I loved camping and were lucky enough to get permission to use a site near the mountain along the Salt River for the weekend. The first thing you have to understand is that we were a pretty sheltered group of kids. We didn't use drugs and only alcohol in moderation. We mostly went out to share creepy stories around the campfire and nerd out for a night or two. We all spent a lot of time in the desert and were all familiar with the land and the wildlife, even the rarer species. We were sitting around our fire, listening to the river and the animal sounds around us, crickets, cicadas, birds. The moon was almost full and the desert was beautiful. We'll stop right there and say, I imagine a full moon desert in like a cool summer is probably a beautiful sight to see.
Yeah, I bet it is too. When we were driving through Arizona last time, we saw some javelina.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Several. Yep. Suddenly, everything goes quiet. Just the sound of the river remains. And even that seems spooky. The air grew still and seemed to get cold. We hear rustling in the undergrowth across from our fire, and out steps a javelina. Now, javelinas are in the pig family, usually a brownish color. The biggest ones are about the size of a medium-sized dog. This person says they're actually kind of cute, if they stink. This one wasn't. It was huge and looked jet black with glowing red eyes.
Yeah, that's not supposed to happen.
It paid me, right?
You're like, oh, time for bed.
It paced around a bit, seemed like it was moving around the fire so it could look each one of us in the eye. I've never seen anything look at me like that. And I work with psych patients. Its gaze was cold and searching, like it could see through me. After what felt like forever, it finally backed up through the undergrowth. The night got warmer and the normal sound started up again. We spent the rest of the night very close to the fires and quickly left as soon as the sun rose. I really want to believe it was just a male javelina scoping out some territory, but every instinct I have says it wasn't Kevin.
I think it was a demon-possessed javelina.
First of all, they're evil-looking little things to start with. If the demon, that would be, if I was a demon, I would possess a javelina.
I wish there was a javelina man that would have come out of the woods.
Don't
That'd
say
been
that. Don't
yeah, you
say
watch,
that.
Folks. Next They'll week, Camel, shockingly, have a javelina man battle something else, like yeah, a right? portal man or something.
I'm definitely going to have to, dude. Stories were great.
Check
they
this
were
one
great.
Out. It says, I used to work at a cheese factory on the edge of a cornfield in southwestern Minnesota. There were a series of days in the summer between 2004 and 2005 where it was so hot that the milk being delivered to us in trucks would evaporate before we got it.
I thought the cheese mines were only in Wisconsin.
I guess not. It made work easy. The dearth of milk denied us any actual labor. But management wouldn't let us not come to work. So we would show up and mess around all shift. I was working nights at the time. It was around 2 or 3 in the morning. And I was out on the loading dock watching bats fly around the floodlights because I like being out in the cool night air. The corn was about as high as my shoulder, so about 5'10". As I'm watching these bats, I look down the edge of the cornfield and something was moving. It was the size of a small child and very, very skinny. It was pale with something that looked like the head of straight black hair. It moved in a sort of jerky gait, like someone dancing the robot, but doing it badly. It moved in chunks, legs, then hips, then torso, then shoulders, then neck, and finally head.
Was it an 8-bit crawler?
I don't know. It was looking back into the cornfield, or at least I felt it was. I felt prickly all over. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a heron or something at first, but it looked too much like a person. It didn't move like a person, though. Gradually, step by step, it moved toward me. Letting my curiosity better my fear, I moved toward the edge of the dock, which was raised a few feet off the ground. When I got within a few feet of the edge, this thing looked at me. I was paralyzed. I could have run, but I was stuck somewhere between terrified and intrigued. It moved its face, and it pointed it right at me. It's ratcheted its body in that disconcerting, jerky movement towards the cornfield and then went into it. I tried to watch where the field moved as it passed, but the corn remained perfectly still. I noticed all the crickets were silent. After a few minutes, nothing happened. I stood out there for an hour, but this thing never came back. and I never saw it again. Feel free to share my encounter, Frank. I don't know what he saw. Small, like a small, yeah, child looking.
Like it's sectionally moving, like in segments.
What would you even call this thing, this cryptid that he saw?
Scary.
The corn man? Is that what it is, corn man?
I don't know. Terrifying. It's like the Thriller. It's like the way it's trying to dance the Thriller right out of the cornfield. Children of the Corn. There you go. That's it.
There you go. Well, if you have any cool stories like that you'd like to share with me and Cam, as well as the listeners, you can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show, 888-393-2783. What else am I thinking of? Patreon. Don't forget.
Yeah.
Patreon. If you want to support the show and you want extra episodes, you can go over there, download the Patreon app. It's free. Look up Expanded Perspectives Elite. Also, Christmas is coming up. You can give away a membership of Patreon to somebody that you love or like with the gift of Expanded Perspectives.
There you go.
Let's not forget about our sponsor, ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app which is a website, basically, where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors, choose the right one for your needs, and click to instantly book an appointment. So if you want to stop putting off those doctor's appointments, go to ZocDoc.com/expanded. That's ZocDoc.com/expanded. And find an instantly book a top-rated doctor today. Cam, what do you got planned for the rest of your week?
I do not know. I'm hoping that it gets cooler. And I'm going to be up in the trees.
Me too, man. I've been looking forward to it. There's a cold front coming in. The full moon is past us. So hopefully we got a week or so of really good.
Have some fun before Thanksgiving.
Really good fun because the deer are definitely in the rut. You have video proof of that happening.
I saw deer making baby deer right underneath me.
Yeah, that's right. That's wild.
Like legit. Like, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm apparently a deer voyeur now. I don't have any idea.
Very, very cool. Well, that's about all the time we have for this episode, folks. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Morgan Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit To get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.